podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. First one back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birds to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show, lead the pen. Get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to another episode of Leave the Pin Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan. Got my buddy on, Andrew Gegg from 314 Golf. Had him on episode 191. This will probably fall somewhere on episode 212 or 213 as you're listening. So been a nice little friendship we got going. And Andrew, before we even get started, I got to personally face-to-face thank you. I know I texted you and stuff. But I got to thank you for the Christmas gift. First off, If you're a new listener, and we've gotten quite a few, if you're a new listener, I'm an enormous St. Louis Cardinals fan. Lo and behold, Andrew is an enormous St. Louis Cardinals fan as well, so we'll talk some of that on the pod. But he gifted me a Uncle Charlie, Adam Wainwright polo, which is phenomenal, big league impact from his charity. And then the giveaway at Wainwright's last game was a guitar. And then Adam Wainwright actually performed that night, because he's a country singer and he's got songs out now on iTunes that you can, you know, download. So he got his hands on that. He's worked with Wainwright before. So we got a lot to talk about on the pod today, but I do want to personally thank you for that. It was quite honestly probably one of the best Christmas gifts I got this year.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Nobody more deserving.
That's for sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So look, let's jump right in, dude. Why don't you catch us up with what's going on at 314. Yeah. And I guess for all of our new listeners and all of our new Instagram followers, maybe just give a brief synopsis of 314 if they haven't listened to the past episode, You know, if they're new to you and the company.
Yeah, so 314, that's the area code in St. Louis. And so I created this company 3 years ago and just substituted the four for F-O-R-E, the word for, just a little play on words, and made a business out of it. And we just create custom golf apparel that's tailored to St. Louis. So they're everything St. Louis themed in some way. And we do head covers, polos, t-shirts, hats, towels, hoodies, quarters of anything. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. We've done some blues, we've done some Cardinals, we've done some arch themed polos, that kind of thing, flag themed items, all that kind of stuff. So
I think it's important to note, though, too, that you guys are also in pro shops around the area, too. And it's not just something where if someone's listening, they're like, well, look, man, I've never been to, you know, Missouri. I've never been to the Midwest. I don't care about it. You know, why am I listening to this podcast about this apparel company that's only based there?
We're even trying to expand to like Scottsdale, New Orleans, and we won't call it 314 out there because that doesn't make sense in either one of those areas, but we have the ability to create apparel under a another name that's suitable for each of those regions, and a more generic name that makes more sense.
Is that something you can can you divulge that name yet, or is that kind of something you're waiting on?
We'll wait until these deals get done. But it's been exciting. So like, we don't have to just do, you know, St. Louis themed things. And we've kind of are on par to not do some St. Louis things this year. So which is good. And we're excited.
So let me ask you this, with 2023, you know, that's kind of the first time that you and I connected, first time we talked on the pod. Yeah. You know, first time we kind of got together. How was your 2023? Were you happy with it? You know, were there any things that you would have liked to change with it within the golf, you know, your golf world and the apparel company?
Disappointed. Yeah, okay. I was disappointed. Just because I think I made a couple bad decisions on my part as a businessman or as a business owner. And I think I just got a little too ahead of myself and tried to do too much at once, and overwhelmed myself. And I could have done there's things that I look back in 2023 and I'm like, man, if I didn't do that, we'd be okay.
Like, gotcha.
So, but we're not dead. We're still here and we're still creating. But we're changing up the business model. I am going to hold no inventory in house, period. We will do.
Now, so prior to this, when people were ordering stuff, you were the one packaging up. You're the one shipping it out. Like, you know, your hands were on it.
So I'm still going to be doing that. Like, that's still going to be me. But what we're not going to do is I'm not going to have, you see these shelves over my shoulder. We're not going to have inventory in my basement. That's not going to happen anymore. Normally the process would be, I would buy X quantities of whatever item. And then I would just hope that they sell and try to market them, right? Not anymore. We're going to do exclusive drops once a month throughout the entire year. So we'll have 12 items this year. And it could be a polo, it could be a hoodie, it could be a hat, it could be hat, head cover, combo, it could be... It'll always be something that's like around, you know, $80 to $100, $120. That'll be...
Okay.
It'll always be some sort of value around there, right? And... And basically what people will do is they'll just purchase things through the pre-sale. And then after the pre-sale closes, I'll have it open for like a week or two, just depending. So this first drop, on our website right now, we have a soccer-themed polo for the St. Louis City team. And it's got a soccer ball print all over it. And it has a little fleur-de-lis on the collar. And it's in the city, our soccer team colors. And we got a huge amount of support. Like, we did a vote on our Instagram.
Yep, I remember that.
If they would like to see Mardi Gras or city. And it was overwhelmingly city. So we were like, all right, let's make that the first drop of the year. But what we're doing is it's a pre-sale. And then once the pre-sale closes, everybody will get their stuff within 45 days.
That's fantastic. So, you know, people love...
I'll order exactly how much we sell. That way I hold no inventory. Nobody's out any money. I'm not paying anything up front. I'm not holding anything that doesn't sell. It just eliminates any risk on my end. And it's just a safer way to go this year. And it creates exclusivity. So
yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. People love the exclusivity of things, right? Like, I would love something more if I knew only 100 other people had it. Yeah. If 20,000 people have it, like, that's cool, right? Mm-hmm. You might see it out on the street more often, but, you know, I love those kind of niche things where I know myself, I know a ton of people in the golf world love that. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you put that up for the soccer polo, you know, I was like, well, look, I love Andrew's stuff. Like, and not even just because it's St. Louis based, just because of the quality of it, the feel, the way it lays on you, you know, the polos and everything, the hats. And I was like, man, I'm not a fan of soccer at all. Hell, my kids played soccer, travel soccer for like 12 years. I freaking hated it. Like, when they got done, they were like, Dad, I don't think I want to play soccer anymore. It's like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. I don't have to go to those games anymore. But I'll tell you what, after seeing it on the website, like, you know, this is no BS. I always call things, I call a spade a spade. Like, that's legit a shirt, even if you're not into soccer. That's a polo that you could wear out. And and I'll tell you what I love. It's so subtle that unless you really look closely at it, you might not even realize.
You wouldn't know what it is.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, you wouldn't know it's soccer related, you know?
And so that's kind of where we always try to go with our designs, actually. You got to pay attention. And yes. I'm not a soccer fan. Like, we have the soccer team in St. Louis. I'm just not a soccer guy. Like, I think the first game that I watched was the game that they lost in playoffs. Okay. That's the first game I watched. I was like, well, I guess I'm bad luck. but anyway, I didn't get into it. I'm just not a soccer person. But when I made that polo and I got the mock-ups, because now we do 3D mock-ups. We don't just do the two-dimensional mock-ups anymore. We do a full-on 3D mock-up with kind of like a themed background with what it, you know, it pertains to. And after when I saw it, I was like, I'm actually going to have one of my own, one of those polos. I'm going to wear that.
And I got to tell you, looking at it on the website, it definitely pops a lot more than, let's say, the 2023 website. Like when you open up that homepage and you see that right off the bat, you know, I think you kind of understand you're looking at something special. Yeah. So I want to ask you this. Do you already know what the other 11 drops are going to be?
I'm about 3-4 months in.
Okay. Okay.
So
is there anything that you can let the listeners know now, maybe one of the future exclusive
What's going to be really cool about next month is that while you won't get it for Mardi Gras, which is people are going to be frustrated about that, we're doing a Mardi Gras theme drop.
Okay.
And it'll be a Mardi Gras polo and hoodie. You can buy one or the other. You can buy both. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Very cool.
But it is slick, man. Like when you see it, you're going to be like, I don't even like the colors of Mardi Gras, but that looks awesome.
Nice.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it seems like when you put green, yellow, and purple together, it's just a weird combination, right? Like, nobody's thinking like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wear that all the time. But when you see it, you're going to be like, damn, I'd wear that.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, though, you have an eye for these things. You know what I mean? Nothing that you create has ever been gaudy. Nothing that you create has ever been like so garish that no one would wear. So let me ask you this. Is the polo and the hoodie, are they like the exact same color combination or are they complementary to each other?
No, they're complementary. So
yeah, that's sick.
I'll give you a preview. It's the polo will be a pattern print. It'll be black. Black will be the base. And then the hoodie is all black. And then it has a little emblem on the left chest. And then the hood, the lining of the hood, is patterned with the same print as the polo.
Oh, hell yeah. See, that's so that's brilliant, dude.
It's sick.
Love that stuff.
Yeah. We've got the ability to do some things that we weren't able to do last year. We got our minimums down with the manufacturer, which is awesome. And so we're allowed to like sublimate a full hoodie. We can do the lining of the hoodie only. We can sublimate quarter zip fully. We got the quarter zip redesigned so it fits better. It fits more like a Peter Millar quarter zip.
Yes. I think that's
awesome.
That's my brand.
The hoodie is, I told people, like we sold out of it last year and it wasn't coming back. The manufacturer decided to bring it back this year because of its popularity. And so we're offering it again. And so whenever we do a hoodie drop, it's going to be the same performance hoodie that everybody loves from us. So
nice. Well, okay. So that's great. So first off, for our listeners, there's a little sneak preview. So you know right now what's coming up next with the Mardi Gras drop. And I got to tell you, you know, I said it before, I have a hat, I have a polo, and I am uber particular of my clothing. Yeah. You know, and a lot of that is because, you know, I'm a smaller guy. I'm only 5'5". I like my clothing tight. You know, I like that kind of Euro cut. And a lot of times when companies will tell you like, oh, yeah, man, it's an athletic cut. Like, so if you're athletically built, like it's going to fit you well. And for someone like me, like I'm swimming in it. But your size small polo you sent me is like, I mean, phenomenal, you know.
So that's something that we take pride in is when we say true to size, we mean true to size.
Yes. Right? And that's so important because, you know, a lot of smaller companies kind of go out of their way to kind of almost make their own cuts in polos and in hoodies and stuff like that. But I think what you guys are doing is so smart. Like Peter Millar, everybody knows that as an upscale lifestyle brand, upscale golf brand. Yep. And the bottom line is not only do they use great material, not only are they in line with so many great courses and resorts, they're craftsmanship and their cut is phenomenal. Like that's why people love it. And that's why it's expensive because it fits beautifully. So for you guys to have that same exact style, I mean, I think the listeners and the followers on Instagram can understand exactly what they're getting when they order from you.
Yeah. The only thing that's different about us and Peter Millar is again, we're true to size. They're not. When I normally wear a medium or a large, and polo, and for them I have to wear a small.
Yeah, see, I don't have any of their polos. I only have their outerwear because I'm so particular.
Which is annoying because their outerwear is true to size.
Exactly.
I wear a large hoodie with them. And that's what I wear for myself and my own brand. But for their polos, I wear a medium large in my own polo and I have to wear a small for them. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why they do that. They remind me of FootJoy in that sense. Like, they're just overly big for no reason.
Yeah. And with FootJoy, you have sleeves that go past your elbows.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I don't want the bottom of my shirt touching my knees. That's the problem.
Yeah. I like it staying tucked in, but I shouldn't be swimming in it. Yeah. I shouldn't have the risk of extra fabric coming out of the bottom of my shorts.
Exactly. Yeah. But so anyway, this year is going to be pretty big for us. I don't know if you've heard of the course. Glen Echo is private out here. They've already jumped on the train. They loved it. They did this is what's great about this new format for our business is for private clubs who are like hesitant to like even do anything because they don't want, you know, to carry something that doesn't sell and they don't want to have to hold inventory or if they're or whatever. Like we had a club that turned us down last year because they got a new club logo and they weren't sure how members were going to react to it. So they couldn't commit to an order. And they were also worried about the minimum that we had last year. So this year, now that we have like, you know, the pre-sale ability and our minimums have dropped, there's just, it reduces the risk for anybody, period. You know, there's just no risk at all because you're getting the money first. So you don't have to worry about it. And the minimum's low and you're not going to hold this in your store at all. Once you get it, you give it right to your members.
Okay, so how would that work for, let's say, a private club out by you? Are they is it a link through your site or is it linked through their member site?
So what happens is we just did it with Glen Echo. We did a polo and a hoodie, and we did it over either right before Christmas or right after Christmas, right before Christmas, I think. And they ran it for 2 weeks. And they had they sold 57 polos and 61 hoodies, which was awesome.
It's fantastic.
But they don't have to hold it. Once they get them, they give them right to the members. Oh, and they sold like 50 hats, I think. Again, pre-sale. What happens is we just create the mock-ups. We finalize the mock-ups through a 2D PDF, and they approve it. Then we get the 3D model that you'll see on my website for that soccer polo, and they'll get something just like that for their members, and they'll format their own email or social post or whatever, send it out, and they just take orders in the shop like they would for any other, you know, sale that they have in their pro shop.
Yeah.
And then when they run it for a week or two, however long they want, and then when they're done, they just send me the numbers and that's it.
I mean, that's so easy, so simple.
So simple.
You know, and what's crazy, you mentioned 45 days turnaround time. Like, I'm not in the apparel world, right? That's not my game at all. But yeah, that's fast as hell, isn't it?
That's super fast. Like, normally.
Especially for custom orders.
Yeah. So normally you're looking at like, you know, 3, 4, or 5 months for this. And what's crazy is like, it could be 30 polos, it could be 500. I get it in 45 days, no matter what. It doesn't matter.
You know, one of the things I love about the pre-sales and stuff like that is, you know, you order it. It is exclusive. We talked about that. But it's one of those things where you almost forget about it a little bit. And then you've got like that, a new gift coming in, you know? Yeah. It's like, you know, two, three, you know, you're excited for it for about a week. Like, oh yeah, I picked that up. Or I was able to, you know, cop that or whatever. I got it on the drop. And like 2, 3 weeks go by and you kind of forget about it. And then you get an email you're like, oh my God, my package is coming. Like, what could it be? And then, you know, it dawns on you. Oh my God. It's that drop that I got before from 314.
What's even better though, is when you actually have it in your hand versus just seeing like the 3D model of it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, this is so much better than the person. It's like that 3D mock-up is great, but this is so much better in person.
And you talked about the Mardi Gras drop, and that's kind of obviously, you know, very seasonal as well. Is that something that you guys are looking towards, you know, to have like something that echoes the fall, something that echoes Christmas time, winter, or is that just a coincidence?
Yeah, we'll be hitting some main events. So like I'm going to have a Masters drop.
Okay.
Masters theme. Like I'm already creating a logo for that. And I think I'm going to do a hat. And possibly a head cover, or I'll do a hat and like a ball marker or something like that.
That's going to be special.
So I already, I got the logo done, and I'm waiting to see what it looks like on a hat mock-up from a company. And I won't share the company because it's a company that I never thought that I would like. I'll tell you that.
Hmm.
Until I bought one of their hats. I bought one of their performance hats. They had a performance rope hat at Payne's Valley. And I was like, man, that hat is slick. And I tried it on. I was like, yep, got to have it. I was a fan since then. So I got that exact same style hat because I'm super particular about hats. And I think everybody's going to love it. I'm going to do two different colors. So we'll do a green one and a tan one.
Very cool. I like that.
Yeah. So we're going to try and hit some major, themes along the way. So we'll try and have like a July 4th theme drop. We'll try and have a 314 day drop, which would be like a St. Louis theme.
March 4th.
That's always a big day for us. So we'll drop something huge on 314 day. And then, yeah, so like Masters, we may do like a US Open theme one. Sky's the limit. We'll do a fall one, maybe a Christmas one. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always excited when new stuff pops up that you create, but, you know, no word of a lie, this gets me a little bit more excited, right? They're like these exclusive drops, like it's just, you know, it's cool to know that, okay, once a month, I can look forward to this. And like, okay, maybe that one this month doesn't necessarily tickle my fancy, but then I know the next month, like I've got another one, coming through. And that's, I'm pretty pumped for that. That's real neat. And I'm glad that it's something that benefits you and the company as well.
Yeah, it helps me on my end, and then it helps. I think it helps grow the brand too, just because people know now designs will never be duplicated.
Yeah,
and once it's gone, and once people start seeing like, man, I missed out on that design, like they're gonna start paying attention, and So anyway,
you know, that's I'm very. Particular not only clothing but shoes as well, and you know Nike the last few years has gone really kind of really high end with their major drops as far as their shoes go, and last year was a banner year. Like I picked up 3 out of the 4 Air Maxes. I got the Georgia one, like the Georgia Peach ones, for the Masters. I got the Bel Air US Open ones because I just loved the kind of fresh prints, you know.
Those were sick, yeah.
Yeah, the neon colors, the pink and the green. And then I got the Open Championship ones because I loved like the Beatles Yellow Submarine-esque lettering and Live to Play to Live. But, I don't even wear those to golf. Like, I legit wear those to lift in and to work and stuff, you know. They're just too nice to wear on the – on the golf course. Especially like, you know, the weather out here is it sucked. Like I told you, it snowed 11.5 inches overnight. You got slush and crap, and we're kind of dealing with the same stuff. I wanted to ask you, I want to talk a little golf with you. We didn't get to do that much. The majors this year are at some pretty dope places. Like obviously Augusta, you talked about that. PGA Championship is at Valhalla in Kentucky.
Really close.
Yeah, 3 hours from you, right? 3.5 or so. That's not
bad. Far. Like, definitely worth a drive.
Yeah. U.S. Open, which I'm pumped about, goes to my favorite place in the world, Pinehurst, and then the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Is there one of those four that you're looking forward to more than any others?
Pinehurst, because that's at the top, near the top of the list, if not at the top of the list right now, because I'm so mad that I haven't been there yet. I'm so mad.
Well, and I'm not gonna.
I know that would be like my heaven. Like right now, we have a trip. me and my buddy we'll go to Sand Valley every year.
Yeah.
We went this past summer twice, and we got Bandon Dunes next year, or this year, sorry. Cool. In August of this year. And so like those are like my places, like those are my faves. And
yeah.
I think once I get to Pinehurst, I think that's going to compete.
Yeah, it will for sure. It's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about, you know, where you're located geographically and where I'm located geographically. Like, for me to go to Pinehurst, you know, it's far, it's 8 hours, but we're there every year, sometimes twice a year. I mean, I've been there, I don't know, it must be 12, 13 times now, you know, something stupid, insane. Yeah. We go every Thanksgiving. You know, we spend 10 days down there every Thanksgiving with the family. And like Sand Valley for me, we had a trip planned there during COVID and then actually had to cancel that. Mm-hmm. You know, which kind of sucked, but it's a place like that, Mammoth Dunes, I want to get back to. I want to see the sandbox and all that. But again, like
Aledo,
you know,
man.
You're like, yeah, that's my place. Pinehurst is my place. You know, it's funny how when I go to Pinehurst, you know, a lot of time I take it for granted. Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, I've been there so often, but you see people that have never been, like talking like you know, you've never been, like, but I've never been to Sand Valley. Like, I would love to go there or to go to Bandon, you know, like never. I don't know if I'll ever get to Bandon out that far west, you know, who knows?
That's a little different for you, I would think. Just, yeah, I mean, you're coast, that would be coast to coast. So
coast to coast for sure.
But for me, it's like, I always talk about how I want to move and be in a drier climate, drier, warmer climate. Like,
yes,
I love Scottsdale, man, dude. I've been to Scottsdale so many times. I love it. Love it. Love it down there. But being in the Midwest, like, nothing isn't, you know, out of the question as far as
travel.
So
yeah, you're so centrally located. So
centrally located, like either coast isn't really that bad. So when you think about it that way, it's kind of hard. But where we're located at, we went to Erin Hills and Sand Valley on one of our trips this summer, and it was just it was a 5-hour drive. Like, it was so easy.
Wow.
We just get up in the morning, we drive, play.
Yeah. All the same day.
All the same day. Like, it's just not bad at all. And it's hard to beat that. So that's kind of why, I mean, Sand Valley is great as it is, but it only makes it better when it's that accessible.
Now, Sand Valley has obviously Sand Valley, Mammoth Dunes, the sandbox. Is there anything else they have there now?
Lido opened this year.
Oh, that's right.
Which was amazing. I don't know if you've seen that.
You get to play that.
Yeah. So yeah. you can only play that when you're staying on property.
Okay, gotcha.
If you're staying off property, you can't.
But the other two you can play if you're staying off?
You can play Mammoth, Sand Valley, and I don't know what the rules are on Sedge Valley this year, because they're opening Sedge Valley. So they're going to have four courses now, four full 18s.
Wow.
And then Sandbox, you can play if you're staying off property as well. So there's three for sure you can play off property. I don't know the rules on Sedge Valley yet. It's not open yet, obviously.
Yeah.
This trip to Sand Valley this year is going to be awesome.
What's your favorite course of those?
So the Lido being so new, it was really, really tough. Since it's just open, the greens haven't like fully matured.
Okay.
So it was it was like playing, you know, trying to stop a ball on hardwood. not possible. It didn't matter how much spin you had. If you landed in the middle of the green, you were off it. and then every single one is ka-tunk. Like, you can hear it when it lands. It sounded like it was hitting cardboard or hardwood. I loved it. The layout of the course was amazing, and it was really fun to walk. But yeah, I think once it matures, it'll be probably the best course on property.
Okay.
Cool. But for right now, I think Mammoth Dunes is the most fun. It's pretty open. And then Sand Valley is more of like a shot making course.
Okay.
It's not as open. But again, that also makes it fun when you're trying to make certain shots. But yeah, I don't know. I think Mammoth Dunes is just more fun. It's the most fun course on the property, I would say.
I've seen the pictures, and when we were planning to go, like, you know, did all the Google Earth and all the mapping of it and watching all the videos and stuff. And it just looks so big. And that just, you know, to me, like, that's awesome when you feel like, you know, you're an ant in the middle of the fairway. You like look up and these big flash face dunes and whatnot.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah. Yeah. And you can't count out like the sandbox. That's probably one of the most fun par threes I've ever been on.
Yeah.
And it's just, they have a putting course, like they have putting tee boxes, and then they have like your wedge tee boxes. And it's just getting a group of guys out there having, you know, eight guys on a tee box.
Yep.
You can't beat that.
Yeah. I argue and I advocate so much for par three courses like that, like the Cradle. You know, and I grew up actually on Long Island. Jones Beach near me, the beach had a par three course. Now, the longest hole was like 60 yards, you know, it was like just a little pitch and putt type course in a very small footprint on the beach there. But it was phenomenal. You know, it used to be like $5 and you can just have so much fun and you can have a ton of fun with people that aren't even good at golf, like that would get their asses kicked on Mammoth or, you know, Lido or anything like that. They can actually be kind of semi-competitive because instead of making a, you know, let's say a 9 or a 10, like, well, yeah, what's the worst they're really going to make? A 6?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It kind of levels the playing field for everybody, brings everybody closer and makes it more competitive. And it's just a lot of fun.
Hey, podcast patrons. Real quick break in the episode here. I want to talk to you about Big Wings Golf Apparel. They've just become the official glove and proud sponsor of us, Leave the Pin Podcast. We all know how important a comfortable glove and good grip are for the golf swing. And like us, you're probably tired of overpaying for gloves at the pro shop right before your round of golf, or getting some crap glove that's overpriced at Golf Galaxy, or pulling something out of your bag that's stiff as a board because you sweated through it and you left it in there for 2 weeks before you played again. Well, thankfully, Big Wings Golf Apparel has the solution. Go visit bigwingsgolf.com before your next round for all your golf glove and apparel needs. Experience unmatched comfort and a perfect grip with these premium Cabretta leather gloves and feel the difference with every swing. Big Wings Golf Apparel, where craftsmanship meets performance. Again, that's bigwingsgolf.com, and you, our listeners, can use code LTP for 10% off your first order. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast.
They
do a great job, like, with their logoing out there and their merch. We spend a lot of money as a family at Pinehurst at the resort.
I saw the drop by Roback that they did for their fall collection.
Yeah, don't even get me started. I got here's a funny story. We got all of it, right? Got my wife a shirt. Got like one thing for each boy. All I wanted was the hoodie. Right, with the Cradle Fall logo. So I order it, I get it. I actually know the people at Shop Pinehurst, right? So they DM'd me on Instagram and they were like, "Oh, hey, we saw that you picked that up. You know, we figured you'd get it." All this, that, and the other. And then I get the email, the invoice is on. I'm pumped. I got the delivery date, and the hoodie's not in there. I'm like, what the heck? And inside, they said that they didn't make enough of them. Like, they oversold for how many they had. And whenever my order went in, it wasn't one that made the cut. And I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. So they were super awesome. And they were like, hey, when you come down for Thanksgiving, stop by the vault, which is where they run the Shop Pinehurst out of the back of. And they're like, you know, just ask them and they may have some hanging around. So like, I was so pumped, right? I was like, oh, I'm gonna get one. And we walk in, the lady has one on because that's actually part of their work gear. And I said, hey, here's the thing. I'm Dan. I run this pod. They're like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. We know. They're like, sorry, but we don't have any. So I still, my boys have the hats, the T-shirts, this, that, and the other. My wife has the T-shirt for it, right? All of it. I got nothing with the fall logo.
I would be A, crushed. B, furious.
It's the only thing I wanted from it. Like, I didn't want the t-shirts or anything like that. Yeah. But I did pick up, I don't know if you can see, can you see the spring cradle flag behind me? Yeah. So, check this out. Here's a nerd thing.
I like the spring one. I saw that drop too.
Yeah. The spring's phenomenal. The resort hooked me up with a whole bag of tees too, because I'm never down there during the springtime, and their spring tees are awesome. They're white, green, and pink. They're just phenomenal. So I'm like cruising eBay for flags, because my wife got me a bunch of flags for Christmas of courses that I played but just forgot to get their flags. Yeah. So I fill up the other half of my wall over there and whatnot with them. I was like, you know what? Let me look at eBay and see if there's any things I don't have. And this had – the guy said it had like two or three dirt marks on it, and he had it up for like $25. I was like, yo, that's a good price to begin with. But he had it for best
offer. Like $50.
Yeah, exactly. And this is real, like, heavy-duty nylon, all stitched on. And he had it for best offer. So I always throw low-ball offers, I'm looking at golf cards or baseball cards. So I throw him an offer for $10, and I said, how dirty is it? And he emails me or messages me back, like, five or six pictures. And he's like, you know, dude, a magic eraser will probably get it off. He's like, but I can't guarantee. He's like, so for $10, I'll accept. I was like, you kidding me? So I got it for $10. It came in. I was at work. My wife's like, you know, do you want me to open? I said, yeah. And she's like, oh my God. She's like, soap and water is going to get this one mark off. It's friggin' pristine. It's unreal. $10.
Oh man. That guy lost some money there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how you could buy a flag for $35 to $50. Yeah. I don't know. Display it, get it dirty, put it in your backyard, and then sell it for $10.
That guy's crazy. But hey, lucky for you.
Yeah, for sure. So where else are you going this year? Anywhere far away, or is most of the golf going to kind of be close to home?
I don't know. We're looking at a trip. We got, like I said, we got Bandon Dunes, and we always go. So we have Bandon Dunes in August, and then we always make a trip to Sand Valley. I'm not sure when we're actually going to do the Sand Valley one. My buddy's looking to do his bachelor party somewhere, and we're still undecided about it. So we were looking at Pinehurst, we were looking at Sand Valley, but then accommodations fell through to where we can't get Sand Valley now. Too many guys, and we were too late to the party on reservations. Those filled up fast this year because of Sedge Valley opening up. When you got Sedge Valley opening up and you had Aledo open up last year, that's 2 years back to back. You got new courses.
Yeah.
It was so hard to get in this year. But we still might be able, got a really good relationship with a caddy up there. He might be able to get us on if we stay off property. So
nice.
His dad's the superintendent of one of the courses. I forget which one. So we have a hookup to play the courses no matter what. But I'm not sure the dates on that. And then, I'm sure I'll go to Big Cedar at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Go there every year, sometimes twice a year. But other than that, no big plans, really.
That's a place I'm dying to get back to, because my oldest son, I think he was 12 when him and I just went. But I'd love to get the whole family back there and spend, you know, 7, 8, 9 days and just kind of see everything that resort has to offer.
So I played Mountaintop this year, the par 3.
Oh, how good is that, dude?
It is. It's so underrated. Like,
so, dude, 12 holes. Like, it is. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, 13.
Well, 13 holes. 13. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it's so underrated. And like the one time that I did play it, it was pretty dead. I think I kind of went like in the dead of summer, and it was really, really hot. It was a little burnout. So I wasn't like impressed the first time, but then when we went this past, October, played it again. And I was like, this might be one of the better par threes I've played. Like,
yeah. And you know why? Because there's such variety in the distance of the holes.
There are.
And you can, you can manipulate T-boxes here and there to make your own numbers. And it's, you know, look, dude, I love 18 holes. If I've got the time, I absolutely love it. But I'm telling you what, there might be something to that mindset of like, maybe golf should be 12, 13-ish holes. It's just the perfect amount. It doesn't take too long. You know, it's just a little bit more than nine, so it kind of, you know, quenches your thirst if you need a little bit more golf.
All right, well, we could turn into live golf courses. Live version of golf courses. No, Mountaintop is the views are just amazing. It was like lush green, like it was perfect condition, and balls were checking,
fun to walk,
and it was so much fun to play. And we did this thing where we do like closest to pin on every single hole with our group. And it was a ton of fun. Like, have you played Top of the Rock out there?
Yeah, we did. We did. Now, when we played...
I like Mountaintop better than Top of the Rock. And Top of the Rock has, like, some amazing views, but...
Yes.
But it's very expensive for nine holes.
Oh, super. And
it, I don't know. It doesn't have the same vibes as Mountaintop.
Look, here's what I tell people. I love Top of the Rock as, like, a one-and-done thing. Not sure I'd pay that price again, but... Very worth it to play it one time. Experience it. I could play Mountaintop daily.
Yep. Agree. 100% agree with that.
Now, let me ask you this. So when I was there, the range at Top of the Rock was complete. Like, it was full. But now I know they had that sinkhole and they discovered more of those underground caverns. What's the deal with all that now?
Yeah, so they're actually turning those into, like, it's going to be like a little tour thing that you can walk. You can walk. They're going to put like railing and pathways and all that stuff. And you can walk down there.
So almost like when you take the golf cart tour.
But you know how they have those like metal railings that you walk on a mountaintop when you're going up, when you're coming back.
Oh, dude, those are awesome.
They're doing that all down in it. Like,
that's so
it's
cool.
Pretty cool. So it's like, it took away a really cool practice, like a practice range, but what they found was pretty awesome.
So the range is completely gone. It's there no longer.
No, it's gone.
So you just go kind of right to the first tee there with the small little chap.
I'm sure they'll make another practice range somehow.
Okay.
But there's no way that they're not going to have a range there. But it's right now it's just kind of straight to the tee box.
Now, this is super specific, and if people don't live in the Midwest or they haven't been there, they're not going to get this. But give me your thoughts on Buffalo Ridge, because that's the first course I ever played on Zoya grass.
I get this question
I fell in love with the place.
See? I'm on the other side of it.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked, because I know a lot of people are.
Dude, and I know a lot of people, they're like, oh, Buffalo Ridge is my favorite course down there. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, what? Because I've played that course probably, I don't know, close to 7 or 8 times. And every time I play it, I'm just like, there's some of it is in great, great shape. And then some of it's just like, not.
Like, okay. So maybe when I caught it, I'm telling you that every place we played there looked like Augusta. I mean, it was perfection.
I don't know. I don't know. I think personally, I think Ozarks is the toughest course.
Yes.
And I think Payne's is the best the best kept course. Like, I think it's the
Payne's wasn't even open yet. We actually ate at whatever restaurant overlooks Payne's Valley, and they were still constructing it at the time. And it's funny, we were the only people eating there at the time. It was the middle of the summer. I don't know if people just decided like, hey, we're not going to go out in this weather. For us, it was fine. And my son loved seeing the course. I mean, we were there for almost 2 hours because he was just watching, you know, the backhoes and the graders, and they were out shaping and stuff. And it was pretty neat to see that.
So have you heard that they're doing a par three course on that hill?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So they're doing a short course on the side of the hill. Everybody thought it was going to be a short range. It's a course, and it's going to be awesome.
That's phenomenal. You know, and what I love about that resort too is obviously the golf is fantastic, but you can get lost in so many other things there as well.
Yeah. I'm trying to hold on. I'm going to Google the name real quick.
I mean, and let's be honest, that's a phenomenal business decision by them because
oh yeah.
You can move so many people around the short courses.
You know that that par three that has the island green or like the semi-island green?
Yeah.
The holes go all the way down to behind that tee box.
Really?
Yeah. All the way down there.
That's going to make for some crazy tee shots.
Yeah.
On that piece of property. Or on that little piece of property there, I should say. And they have some fun. I mean, like, quite honestly, the par threes, if you take into account top of the rock, mountaintop, and the par threes for all those other courses, that's a pretty special collection of par threes just at that resort there. And so to be getting, you know, to get a whole nother course, that's very cool.
I don't know. I'm not gonna waste any more time on it, but there is another short course that's going to be in there. So they're going to have the two par threes, big Buffalo Ridge, Ozarks National, and Payne's Valley. So they're going to have five courses on that property right there, all within, you know, 3 minutes of each other.
Yeah. Now, is there, I'm not super familiar with the area outside of that resort. Are there any other golf courses, you know, public play golf courses Branson in Hills. That area? Yeah, that are worth it?
Branson Hills is worth it.
Okay.
But besides that, I haven't
everything
really
else is kind of like
I haven't really explored beyond that. But Branson Hills for sure.
Gotcha. And are you guys still working? This just came to my mind. You still working with USML, the men's and women's teams?
Oh, I'm still
the golf team.
Yeah. We're actually they're going to be launching their pre-sale here pretty soon. They're going to try and like push stuff out to their alumni and
very cool.
Yeah, so we got some really cool designs for them. We got two polos and two hoodies for them.
Nice.
They're pumped about that.
You ever get to go out and play with them at all?
No, but I think that's another aspect that we want to work on this year is trying to get some competitive YouTube videos going where we play. I talked to the coach and I was like, can we play like me and my buddy, like us two versus your top girl and top guy?
Yeah.
And like do like a video out of it. And he's like, oh yeah, we could for sure do that. I was like,
that's fantastic. Yeah, that's cool.
So I think we're going to try to make that happen this year.
I like that idea. Where's your game at now?
Struggle bus, but we're working we're working on it. We're at a 6.7 right now, and we're gonna get down to a 3 this year.
Okay,
that's the goal.
Like that.
So I was at a 3, went through a lot of swing changes, went back up, and we're gonna get dialed and go back down this year.
Now I know you guys got hit a little bit by this weather. I don't remember the last time when we talked. Are you able to play through the winter?
You can. We had some 60 degree weather here not that long ago in like mid December, and I went out and played at Boone Valley with a buddy of mine, and you can play. It's just you gotta get the right weather.
But it's
a private courses, people were walking in 30 and 40 degree weather.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm used to. But I mean, in terms of snow and stuff like that, you always hear about the Midwest getting battered, you know.
This is our first snow.
Okay.
It was only like, I don't know, an inch or two.
Oh, good Lord.
So it was like nothing. But yeah, it just makes for mud and slush. So
yeah. Took me 2+ hours to clean my driveway this morning.
Oh, mine melted overnight.
I had to throw that in there.
Sorry. Hey, we need to talk about Liv real quick. And,
yeah, go ahead.
What are you? Are you a Liv fan or not?
I'm not a fan, but honestly, I'll tell you what. I'm okay. So here's my deal. I'll give this to you in a nutshell. And we really haven't talked about this in the pod much, just because we don't care about it. I was so disenchanted with professional golf last year that for someone that does a golf podcast, that literally, you know, the majority of my free time is like spent in and around golf, I completely almost like shut it off from my world. Yeah, it just disgusted me on so many levels. The hypocrisy of certain guys, which is now come to fruition, like with Rory and stuff.
Thank you.
From the beginning, you know what I mean? Here's my take. I'm a teacher, okay? If a neighboring school district said to me, bro, we'll give you $5 million to teach over the next 3 years, guess what? I don't care how much I love my job. I'm going to work at that school district. Because I teach to make money. Like, these guys play golf to make money. So who would not want to make more money? Like, working less and making more money sounds pretty decent to me.
Yeah.
And I understand the whole concept of dirty money, but I'll tell you what.
You and I are on the same page here.
Yeah. So my buddy Brent Grant, who was on the pod 2 or 3 episodes ago, comes on every single year, plays on the PGA Tour. His entire family has served in the military. And he made a great point in the last podcast. He said, dude, I said in the beginning I wouldn't do it because, you know, I had bad information, you know, where money was coming from, what was going to happen and stuff. And he goes, but the bottom line is, he says, the more and more people I spoke to, the more I realized that every single dollar out there is dirty in some way or the other. Yeah. You know, and he said, so if people wanted, again, like I echoed as well, if people wanted to pay me to work less, but pay me more, like, I can't really fathom anybody who would be up in arms about it. So the only people I feel like that are up in arms about it are people that just kind of like are fake angry about things.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. And I think the frustrating thing for me was that, you know, why John Rahm? Like, why did it take John Rahm for people to be like, oh, you know what? Now we should let them play the Ryder Cup. Now we need to change the rules. Like,
yeah,
it's John Rahm, so we got to do it. It's like, what about DJ and Brooks? And why didn't you stick up for those guys?
Yeah, and you know what's nuts? Like,
because it's just like those guys played lights out in 2021.
Yeah,
lights out. It's like. And Bryson, like, you're not going to stand up for these guys? Like, what's the problem?
Here's the funny thing. People still think, like, John Rahm moves the needle. Like, all these fans are going to just go follow Liv because John Rahm. Like, they're not. Like, the only person that moves the needle out there in golf is Tiger Woods. Like, flat out, that's it. Okay? If Tiger's playing in a tournament, you know the numbers are going to go through the roof. If you announce Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth are playing in a tournament, you'd be like, yeah, they always play in a tournament. Like, okay, what's the big deal? And the problem with Liv, the problem that I have with Liv is not the golf, it's not the money, it's none of that. It's the fact that the product flat out sucks. Not the golf itself, but the way that it's broadcast. If I'm the second largest investment fund in the world, and I piss away tens, hundreds of million dollars and not even think about it, give me a good television product.
I think you're going to see that change. And I think that's one of the stipulations Rahm had in his contract.
Okay.
I think you're going to see that change. Because I think that was his only hesitation to not go over there to begin with.
Because I'm going to tell you what. Like, I tried. Not like half-assed tried. I tried to watch it. I tried to like it. And it was almost unwatchable.
I get what you're saying. From televised viewership. Or,
yes, from a fan perspective.
So, to counter that, if you go to the tournament, your opinion would change.
Sure, because it's live golf.
It's just like any other golf.
I love live golf no matter what, from high school matches, college matches, mini tours, PGA, Korn Ferry, you name it. I love live golf.
What I loved about it was that, because I walked 18 with DJ, all 18 of them. Inside the ropes with DJ. And that was at the Chicago tournament in 2022. And I thought it was so awesome that you could be walking down the fairway and hear a DJ just blasting music. I mean, I thought that was awesome. Like, it was so chill, but it was fun. And it was like more of like a hangout atmosphere. And I don't know. It's just really different. It's really different than a PGA tournament and I thought it was way more fun.
Very cool.
Now, credit, like, you can't, like, I've also been to the Players. Like, I don't think it was more fun than the Players.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Like,
the Players, I mean, you got so much to watch.
Yeah, the Players is dope.
The Players is awesome. It's the fifth, what should be the fifth major. And 17, I mean, it's so exciting. You can't, the crowd's always loud there. Always. Yeah. So I'm not comparing it to like those big tournaments or the majors or anything, but when you're just talking about a regular PGA tournament versus one of the LIV tournaments, I mean, it just depends on what atmosphere you want to be around.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, I'm not going to lie. I love, like, I'm not a big music on the golf course fan. You know, like, I love the natural aspect of it. I'm not a big fan of kind of rowdy people. And I think going to LIV itself, if I followed a smaller group around, like, I like that more. Like, I love going to Korn Ferry where there's like five people following a group. You know, I know that's not good for business. You know, I just, that's just what I like personally, you know?
Yeah. Not like Ryder Cup when you have 20,000 people following four players.
Yeah, exactly. That's miserable.
Which, by the way, that was my one experience with Ryder Cup. I loved going. I will never go again.
You know, you're not the first person to tell me that. And I have not been, the only two big major events I've never been to is the Open Championship and a Ryder Cup. I've been to every single thing else across the board, you name it, been there, done that. And a lot of people that have been in my boat as well have said the same exact thing. Too many people, you know, not enough action. You can't get away from people anywhere. Okay. And it's funny because next year it's at Bethpage. So now I grew up at Bethpage. Yeah. I like legit literally grew up 5 minutes from it. My aunt and uncle still live in Bethpage. So a bunch of my buddies have asked, you know, hey, you know, you want to come back? You want to come back to the island for it? I was like, no, not at all. I didn't even like going to the U.S. Open or the PGA at Bethpage because it's just like, for me, it was just too many people. Even like, you know, even the U.S. Open gets like that. It's just wall to wall people. And, you know, maybe this is like a little bit of a gatekeeper in me. There's so many non golf fans there because it's an event. It's, you know, in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the corporate sponsorships and they're just supplying tickets to people within the company that probably could give two shits about golf and are there to like drink and
hang out.
It's just like talk. It's like, I'm there to watch and follow golf. Not just party. Now, granted, the Players, we had like VIP, so I was there to kind of do both. but normally I'm just there to just follow and watch. It's tough when there's just that many people following two guys, three guys at a time. It's like a nightmare.
The one time I was at Bethpage for the U.S. Open, the first U.S. Open, I don't remember when that was, 99, 2001, something like that, 2002. We ran to this one guy in a hole, and, you know, you're standing next to someone, you just start talking to him and whatnot. And he said, oh, you guys from here? I said, well, I grew up here, but I don't live here anymore. And he says, yeah, I'm from the city, of course. And he's like, you know, my company gave me these tickets, and I thought I was going to a tennis event.
Oh, my God.
And I just, like, I must have given him the most disgusted look. And my buddy's just like, nah, come on, let's just keep walking. Like, what? don't even get too fired up over that.
He's like, go. Just leave.
That's fine. We'll walk down the fairway, dude. We're good.
Get out of here. Or she's just been like, give me your ticket.
Revoked. Walk out the exit. You're gone. Yeah, so I mean that's just my thing. I could care less. Look, the more golf that's on TV, the more golf that's out there, the better. Like, the more places that there are for people to play, the more that we can have maybe some of these sub-level guys that might not get the shot because there was only one tour to play on. I don't care. More golf is better.
No, I'm with you on that. I just I think,
and it's all going to be won, you know, pretty soon anyway.
Soon, yeah, it will be. But the hypocrisy of it was
insane.
The most brutal part of it, I think.
Yep. Yep. And again, like the fake outrage of like I'm not, I would never watch something because of this Saudi money. I'm like, yo, do you put gas in your car? Like, what are we gonna like? Come on.
Yeah. It's just like, I think when that argument first came out by Rory and some of the other guys, it's like, I think Greg Norman responded like immediately with like, do you know like who's sponsoring your PGA events? Like, they all deal with the same people.
Yeah, like you literally play events in Saudi Arabia on the DP World Tour. Like, I mean, what are we
what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I had to get that in there because I was just curious. I didn't know where you stood on it.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. But look, dude, I tell you what, I'm pumped for you for 2024. I love the exclusive drops. People can find the soccer polo online now, the Mardi Gras one coming up.
Yep.
Andrew, why don't you give them all kind of your socials as well as the website information? We'll put that all in the liner notes, but where can they find you?
Socials, Instagram, Facebook, at 314. That's at 314. And then 314.com. That's at www.314.com.
Awesome. All right. So, I mean, check them out on Instagram. Once this episode drops, we'll put everything up on Instagram as well in the liner notes. And be on the lookout. Be on the lookout every single month for the 314 drops. And just know that when you're buying this stuff, it's you and a few other exclusive people. You're not going to see, you know, quite honestly, if you're across the country, you might legitimately be the only one at your club or your course wearing that stuff. And that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just stay tuned. We might be at a course near you soon. Who knows?
Love that. Love that. All right, people. So either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com.
Absolutely. It depends on the COR of the flagstick. So the coefficient of restitution flagstick. In U.S. Opens, I'll take it out. And every other tour event, when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce that ball against the flagstick if I need to.